In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Welcome back to your program, Word of Life. And in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, in the verse of 37, then he came and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. One may ask why specifically he mentioned Simon. All the apostles slept that night. Maybe because Peter was the only one who said that I will die for you. And because Peter put himself higher than the others, that's why he was the one to be blamed. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words of Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Again, this simple prayer is the perfect, complete prayer in times of suffering. APA stands for reminding yourself of the fatherhood of God. God is a kind father, and whatever he is doing is the best for you. The second point, that everything is possible. God can do miracles. God can change things. God can do the impossible. The third point, take this cup away from me. Just express whatever you need. Express your suffering. Ask for the forgiveness. Ask for miracles. Ask for change. The fourth point, important one, not what I will, but what you will. So the last point in this prayer is to surrender, to give the will of God the chance to be applied, not your will. To choose God's choice, not your own choice. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. Although Christ blamed them for sleeping, especially Peter, they couldn't fight the sleeping desire, and they slept again. For their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Sometimes, actually, we have no excuse. We don't find anywhere to tell God. We just keep silent because we are just sinners, and we don't have any excuse for whatever negative we are doing. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So they slept many times and they couldn't watch him or pray with him or stand beside him in this time of suffering. So he said, this is the hour the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. So at that time, Judas had the conspiracy with the elders and scribes, and brought the soldiers of the temple to catch Christ. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely. So by kissing Christ, that was the signal. And you know, this bad kiss we always afraid of, because it's an expression of love. So if you show love in a dishonest way, you are deceiving yourself. Do you really love this one, or you just show dishonest love? By kissing the Lord in this minute, he was not honest, and he refused the love of Christ, and he made use of a precious expression of love in a bad way. As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. You know, he did not mention that was Saint Peter himself. But, and you know, there is a relationship between Saint Mark and Saint Peter. But Saint Mark did not like to reveal this clearly, that Saint Peter made this first sin in this night, even before denying Christ. So he did not obey his master, and he made use of the sword, and he tried to defend himself and his master by a wrong way, by using the sword, and he cut off the ear of one of the servants. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out against the robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." By saying so, he is revealing that these people are the people of darkness. They cannot work their work in light. They need the darkness. They need the night. They cannot take him while preaching or teaching in the temple, because they knew quite well that people loved him so much, and they could not fight the people. But being alone in the darkness of the night of the Passover, they made use of this to catch him. Then they all forsook him and fled. He meant the disciples. They all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. All the forefathers knew that this was Saint Mark himself. Saint Mark, the young guy, he was following Christ after seeding him, but the people of the elders, the bad betrayers, they caught him. So he left his linen cloth and fled away from them naked. By doing so, you know, it revealed that this minute was a minute of fear, minute of frustration, minute of denial for all of them. They doubted everything. They couldn't stand for him, and they preferred to fly away, not to be seized with him. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance. This is another problem of Saint Peter. Saint Peter used to be very nearby Christ. He used to be the first one to speak or to answer Christ. But now he is following him, but at a distance. And this is a major problem. If you want to follow Christ, don't stay away. Don't stand from a distance. Christ likes his people to be attached to him, to be just nearby him. Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So Saint Peter made many mistakes this night. He was proud of himself, saying, I will never leave you. I'd rather die for you, not to leave you. But he slept, and although Christ blamed him, he slept again. And also he made use of his sword against the commandment of Christ and cut off the ear of the servant. And here he was standing away from Christ, following him at a distance. And also he was in the yard, the courtyard of this priest, and warming himself with the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. You know, they used to make a real court, a real judgment court, but Christ was always innocent. He never had done any wrong. So many testimonies were not working together. Although Christ was silent, he did not defend himself, but all the testimonies did not work out their way. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Actually, Christ said so long ago, and he did not mean the temple, the real temple of Solomon, but he meant his body. And now he is doing so by leaving himself to their hands to be crucified and the resurrection after 3 days. But they took it literally, as if he is the one who will work against the temple and destroy the temple. But not even then did their testimony agree, because Christ did never do this destruction of the temple, the Solomon's temple. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What did this man testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. You know, if Christ defended himself, they could never prove any testimony against him. But Jesus kept silent because he came to die for us. And he was not about to defend himself. He came to defend ourselves. He came to save us, not to save himself. He was not focusing on saving himself, but actually on completing his mission. So he kept silent. And keeping silent in times like this, it's not easy. Because when it comes to lies, cheating, it's not easy not to say this is a lie, this is cheating. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? It's very important, this question, because it will prove either way, either Christ declared himself Son of God or not. In our faith, he declared it many times, but in their belief, saying so is kind of blasphemy. So they made it in a way just to prove his fault or his sin. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. So Christ said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of the Blessed. I am the Messiah, the Christ. And you will see the Son of Man. Now he changed the word from Son of God to Son of Man, because he is both. He is Son of God and Son of Man in one person. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So He made it clear that one day all of them will see Him coming on clouds in the Day of Judgment. So because they will not believe in Him in their life, they will believe in Him very late in the life after. But they will lose everything because they will lose their eternity. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" For themselves, they considered what Jesus said is kind of blasphemy, because He declared Himself Son of God, Christ Himself. He was and is the real Christ and Son of God, but for themselves is kind of blasphemy. "What do you think?" And they all condemned Him to be deserving of death. The whole council of Jews condemned Him and said that He deserved to die. Then some began to spit on Him and to blindfold Him and to beat Him and to say to Him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck Him with the palms of their hands. So at that time Christ started to suffer many sufferings from the hands of the Jews before even the hands of the Romans. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came back to St. Peter. He was in the yard while the court was running. Peter was warming his hand in the fire in the garden outside. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. You know, this was the first denial of St. Peter, and it happened before one simple servant girl. He was not having a court or a judgment day, or before thousands of people, or even the high priest. It was just a simple servant girl, but he could not witness to his Christ even in this minute. She looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." So he was lying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And you know, this rooster was telling him, "Take care, just take care. Christ told you, please take care." But he couldn't. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. Again, he is denying the knowing Christ. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." You know, the speech may reveal the land you are coming of. So the tongue of the Galilean was very specific. So speaking the tongue of Galilean, they said that you are Galilean, so you are one of them. Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." So it started like, "I don't know what you say." Then, "No, I don't know him." And the last one, he started to curse and swear, No, I don't know him." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. So with the third time, he remembered the words of Christ, that tonight, just after few hours, you will deny me three times. And he couldn't get away of this, and he fell down. So this story will help us to remember always that none of us are strong enough to witness before people the name of Christ all the time. We need to pray. We need to watch ourselves. We need to be ready to reason for our faith. We need not to fear anyone anytime. We need to stand just beside Christ in all times. We need to focus on our eternal life, not on this life. We need to be strong in spirit, in faith and hope, but we need not to fear anyone. So he wept. Immediately in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. As you may know, the Jews could not get the condemnation applicable to our Lord Jesus Christ with their hands, because they have to have the judgment of the Roman Empire, because they were following the Roman rules at that time. So they took him to Pilate. And as you know, this kind of blasphemy will never help Pilate to condemn him, because Pilate had nothing to do with this Jew problems. So they need to have another testimony against Christ, which stands before the Roman rules. So they all took Christ early in the morning to Pilate. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It's as you say." So, with the words he made before the elders and the scribes, he mentioned that he is the Son of God, he is Christ, and they considered this as blasphemy. And before Pilate, he mentioned that he is the king of the Jews, and this was a good testimony against Christ according to the Roman canon. He answered and said to him, "It's as you say." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. You know, this Pilate, accustomed to give a gift to the Jews in their feast by releasing one of the common prisoners. And this Barabbas was a very bad man, and he killed many in the rebellion. So this Pilate considered the idea of putting Jesus, the very simple innocent man, against Barabbas, the common killer man, just to release Christ away. But actually, for the eyes of these bad people, they chose Barabbas, and they preferred the death of our Lord Christ, and they made it for our salvation. Glory to God. Amen.